Welcome to Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. Abe never gave me a cross word or a look, and never refused, in fact, or even in appearance, to do anything I requested. I never gave him a cross word, and in all my life, his mind and mine, what little I had, seemed to move together, move in the same channel. These are words from Lincoln's stepmother, Sarah, spoken after his death. She, like her stepson, was a people person, creating a blended family under harsh pioneer conditions. We can hear in her words, in the mystic chords of her memory, the kind of person Lincoln was. "The best boy I ever saw and ever expect to see," she exclaimed. And he returned the deep affection. A relative saying of him, "No man could love a mother more than he loved her." Not only did she make a potentially divided house stand, she moved in one channel, one mind, with her extraordinary stepson. In the union of their household, their cabin hold, we see the fruits of good relationships between people. We also hear of a mystic harmony between a mother and a son. And so again, we can see that Lincoln's spiritual life was about people. Last week, we talked about Lincoln and the little people, the children, that he loved and who loved him. What about women, like his stepmother, Sarah? What can we say about Lincoln's spiritual life and his relations with women? A famous German theologian once said that the holy in life is the holy other. Women were certainly the holy other to Lincoln. He was wholly lacking in knowing how to act with women, at least in public. He was exceedingly awkward. He worked best inside the mother-son matrix. He even called his wife, Mary, by the title Mother, and she called him Mr. Lincoln. Pretty unusual, even by 19th century standards. But as president, his mind flowed in the channel of another woman's mind, the Quaker minister and leader, Eliza P. Gurney. In his relationship with her, largely through personal letters, he found a spiritual companion for his most important theological thoughts. She had come to the White House in 1862 with three other women for the sole purpose of comforting and encouraging him. She preached to him of the need to seek divine guidance. She got down on her knees and prayed for him, for light and wisdom. He must have been astonished and moved. He wrote her a letter about his deepest feelings, especially religious ones. 2 years later, after the fiery trial of the Civil War seemed to lead to no good end, Lincoln wrote her another letter. His views on slavery and on God were coming clearer to him. In fact, they were flowing into the same channel as hers. His hopes and his resignation, as one historian put it, were pinned in his letter to this Eliza P. Gurney, the Quaker woman. "Surely," he wrote, "God, he intends some great good to follow this mighty convulsion, the war, which no mortal could make and no mortal could stay." In this personal spiritual relationship with Eliza Gurney, Lincoln first stated what he would later tell the whole country and the world in his second inaugural address. "The purposes of the Almighty are perfect." Lincoln was a spiritual man, and we see his mind and heart flow as one with these two women, his stepmother when he was a child, a Quaker woman minister when he was at the end of his life in presidency. This is the kind of spiritual person who can light us down in honor or dishonor to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.